The question today is, how can I know when the Lord is speaking to me? I want to say there's a lot of voices out there in the world that's speaking in this day in which we live. There's the voice of Hollywood that's telling you that sin's okay. It's okay to be a homosexual. It's okay to shack up. It's okay to have premarital sex. I'm talking about that's what the voices are telling you from Hollywood. There's also the voice of family that's trying to influence you to go the way they want you to go. There's the voice of the flesh. It's very strong. It's trying to lead you astray. There's a voice of preachers out there today that's trying to tell you it's okay to live like you want to live, do what you want to do, come as you are, keep your sins, and it's all okay. They say all you have to do is pray a prayer, and you're saved if you pray that prayer. A lot of voices out there. There's a voice of conscience and creation trying to tell you you need the Lord. And then there's a voice of Satan that steps up and speaks to deceive you and keeps you from in error. They don't want you to be. He wants you to be deceived. He shoots you with fiery darts and voices that's trying to lead you astray. So there's a lot of voices out there, and I've just only mentioned a few of the voices that tries to influence you. And really, most of the voices that's out there is the voice of the stranger that John says in the book of John, chapter 10, verse number 5. It said, "The stranger will not follow, but will flee from them, for they know not the voice of the stranger." It's talking about that you know the voice of the shepherd there. And in verses 1 through 5 of John chapter 10. But it tells us that we, the sheep, do not know the voice of the stranger. Verse 4 says, when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. The sheep know his voice. But yet and still, there's many times their voices are so deceptive, you have to decipher to know when the Lord is speaking to you. And you need to know that. Now, the Bible has much to say about His voice. For instance, the Bible, the Bible says in Psalms 29, verse number 4, it says that the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. So there's the voice of the Lord that's powerful. And we know that it's powerful because it spoke the world into existence. The Bible tells us in the book of Genesis, chapter number 1. Of course, this is when the world was without form and void, in verse 2. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And thank God the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the face of the waters. But then it says in verse 3 of Genesis 1, "And God said, let there be light." God said, see, the voice of the Lord spoke this creation into existence. In fact, in the book of Genesis chapter 1, there's about 10 times that it says, "And God said." And God said, and it was so. It came to pass. In other words, what He said, what He spoke into existence. And so, therefore, the voice of the Lord is powerful because we know that the voice of the Lord will actually spoke the world into existence. And then also in the book of Luke, chapter 7, verse number 48, we find a woman who had just anointed the feet of Jesus with the alabaster box she had broken with that oil. She washed His feet with tears, wiped them with her hair. But the voice of the Lord said unto her in Luke 7:48, "Thy sins are forgiven." It takes a powerful voice to forgive sins, and only God can do that. But He said, "Thy sins are forgiven." Then in John 5:8, Jesus said unto that man at the pool of Bethesda, as he was there, He said, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." And the man did that. So the voice of the Lord is powerful. You see, He spoke to lepers, and the lepers were cleansed. He spoke and cast out the demons, and the demons left when He was commanded to go. He spoke, and the lame man walked. He spoke, and the blind man saw. He spoke, and the dumb man spake. He spoke, and the deaf man heard. He spoke, and dead were raised to life. He spoke, and the lost were saved. My, the voice of the Lord is very powerful. And in the end time, when He sets His foot upon this earth, He'll speak. In other words, and blood's going to flow in the valley of Megiddo, and the unholy Trinity will be rendered ineffective, because Revelation 19 says, verse 15, it says, "And out of His mouth shall go a sharp sword, and with it He shall smite the nations, and He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God." In other words, He speaks, and there, that unholy Trinity leading a multitude of soldiers into that valley of Megiddo, which is called the Battle of Armageddon, of course. But they're going to turn on one another, and blood's going to flow 177 miles long and 10 miles wide in that valley. To the bridle of the horses bit, because he speaks. The voice of the Lord is powerful, yet is full of compassion. The Bible says in the book of Matthew chapter 9, verse number 35, He said, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages and teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. He was moved with compassion, is what it talked about in the next verse. And he was moved with compassion when he saw those there without a shepherd. He also said in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 1 and 2, and seeing the multitudes, more than one, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And that's more than just the saved ones, but those, the followers of him, came, and he opened his mouth, verse 2 said, and taught them, saying. In other words, he spoke, he taught them. The voice of the Lord is powerful, but it is full of compassion. He's full of compassion. Now, how does the Lord speak? That's what we're dealing with the question today. When I understand some things about how God speaks, it'll help me to know when He's speaking to me. Now, I want to say this. There's so many ways that God speaks, and I want to deal with a few, and yet I'll not get done in this broadcast. We'll continue tomorrow on tomorrow's broadcast, the Lord willing. And we know these things. If you'll stay with me and put it together, you'll see what I'm dealing with when I deal with these things the way the Lord speaks. First of all, I want to say the Lord speaks by circumstances. And His timing is always right, by the way. He's never late. He's never early. He's always right on time. But you take, for instance, a circumstance that arose between the herdsman of Lot and the herdsman of Abram in the book of Genesis. We find they couldn't get along. And as a result, it really it caused them to come to a conclusion. Abraham said to Lot, said, we don't need to be this way. And we need to separate, in other words. And that was the divine providence of God, that circumstances was. For Abram had not obeyed the voice of the Lord, which had been clearly spoken to him in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, which was several years before that time, a few years before that time at least. But he said in Genesis 12, 1, the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, and unto a land that I'll show you. And the Hebrew means I'll show you as you go. And so as a result, Abram did not obey that voice. He carried Lot with him. And God said, leave your kindred. Well, God caused the circumstances to come to where that it would cause them to separate, and where God could speak to Abram and do a work in Abram's heart at that time. Now, circumstances will arise if we're not careful. And when they do, we'll blame them on the devil. And all the time, it's the Lord speaking. Now, I know the devil can do some things, but God allows that. And remember, is not Romans 8:28 true? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. In other words, circumstances may not be good within itself, but it works together for good. Even if the Lord allows Satan to do something to you, it's still God's circumstances that He's speaking to you through. Then there's another way that may be a little hard to understand. I believe the Lord speaks to you, and I call it confirmation. For lack of a better word, that means repetition. Repetition is involved. But yet it means that God's going to confirm something. For instance, if you hear a voice, that voice needs to be confirmed. So God speaks through you. To you through confirmation. He confirms those voices that you hear that they are right. For instance, the Old Testament principle of this is really Deuteronomy 19:15, when he says, one witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity for any sin, in any sin that he sinneth. At the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. In other words, he's saying there needs to be two witnesses, and God's going to confirm one voice. If you hear one voice, you will know something. God will confirm that voice to you by witness. Matthew 18:16, he even tells the church, if you have a problem, man's got a problem with a brother, you go and tell him his fault, and then whenever if he won't listen to you, the Bible says in Matthew 18:16, but if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. So we see then, when we hear a voice, we need to wait till it's established by another witness, because the Lord will confirm that in speaking to you that that voice is of the Lord. Then there's also the peace of God. That's the voice that that's the way the Lord speaks to your heart, in a sense. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. And, of course, this is talking to the saints of God who have the peace of God. The only way you can have peace of God really and truly, completely, is to have the peace with God. That takes the work of Holy Ghost conviction to bring you to that place where you can be made one with Christ again, having peace with God, but then you can have the peace of God. And Colossians 3:15 says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful." In other words, peace is that he's talking about means the tranquility of soul and spirit based on the consciousness of a right relation with God. Now, the peace of God is that peace that passeth all understanding, even in the midst of troubles. It's what the Bible says in the book of Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6, where he says, "Be careful for nothing." That means worry about nothing. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So that those phrases would be kind of like one man wrote in the margin of his Bible one day, "Worry about nothing, pray about everything, and thank God for anything, knowing that He is in control." So the peace of God, which passeth all understanding in the midst of troubles. Now, Colossians says it'll rule. It'll rule in your heart. The word rule means to be an umpire, to control, to direct, to determine. In other words, wherever there's a conflict of motives or impulses or reasons, the peace of God must step in and decide which is to prevail. I remember some time ago being in Myrtle, Mississippi with Brother Percy Ray, and we were tearing down some buildings. And Brother Ray he always was concerned about which nails to use and what piece of lumber and how to put the plumbing and every minute detail about the buildings, even in tearing it down. So I asked him one day, I said, "Brother Ray," I said, "how do you know the will of God in these minute details here?" And he looked, kind of looked with a beady eye that he had and put his hand up by his temple and kind of like twisting a knob. And he twisted his hand like twisting a knob and he said, "Something just clicks." And that's what I'll never forget that, because he said, "Something clicks in your mind." And that's what happens whenever the Lord speaks to us. I mean, He'll speak through circumstances, but He'll confirm it with a witness and something will click in your heart and your mind, if it's the Lord speaking to you. This is Edgar Lee Pascoe, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.